Hallelujah. I know you've never heard this. I'm going to say this. This is really going to be unique. Pray. And don't stop praying. I like to think of myself and all of you. We've been raised, you know, raised in the spirit by people like Pastor Dave Roberson. I hope I've had an effect in your life and other men and women of God. So we teach a real concentrated, you know, time of prayer. As in, if you can manage early morning, late at night, middle of the day, having some kind of concentrated time of prayer on a regular basis, all the benefits. But I also, at times, kind of think of myself as a hybrid between concentrated prayer, in which I like to get mine done as early as possible, not because I'd like to check it off, I just like to get it accomplished. And then, from what I understand from history and, you know, things that I've heard and read, men like Smith Wigglesworth, he may have had a concentrated, like, sit down and do 2 or 3 hours, but he also had just a continual throughout the day. And where that they said, and now this may be, I don't know if it's just urban legend or not, but they said, you know, he would hardly go 15, 20 minutes without praying, but then he wouldn't pray but 15 or 20 minutes. But so he just constantly. So my encouragement to you is, number one, do your best to have some kind of really concentrated time of prayer. But I like to think of it sometimes like a piggy bank. You're just sowing into, and the word says, and this is not, you know, we might be accused of legalism. I don't really care anymore. But the word says that those who come before him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I just believe his word. I believe that there's a reward, and I'm not talking about, you know, the things of that what most Christians think of as a reward. My reward that I'm thinking of is more presence, more anointing, answered prayer, perfect, thank you. So I find myself often, even after I've gotten my consolidated time done, and then I feel that freedom to go about and do, if I find slots in the day where I can sow another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, hey, I can grab the word and sow 4 chapters, you know, or 3 chapters, or read Ephesians or Philippians, one of those short books. It's just always sowing into the spirit man, sowing in. It's putting, it's not money, but it's putting in for answered prayer. And so praise God, because you keep, when you do that, fasting's not the only mechanism that keeps the flesh pliable and dead. Just a continual walk with him and not allowing yourself to get too far away from the river. You know, stay in the river. Hallelujah. So tonight's message title is the same as prophecy, and we're headed towards that prophecy in a little bit where we'll examine that. But join with me, if you would, in prayer, and I appreciate everyone, as I said before, who is online with us. Father, we love you. We so love you. We can do nothing. I realize that I can do nothing, and we all realize the more we go into you of ourselves, nothing of ourselves. We depend so much upon you, Holy Spirit. Teach us tonight. Let this be a learning session. Let it be prophetic and also an experience. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name that you'll combine both word and experience to teach us all. We thank you for this, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I was praying that prayer, I was also reminding myself that this is a night that, much like last Wednesday night when we spoke on the shroud, that was not only just a word-based teaching, but it was also a lesson of experience. and I was sharing 30 plus years of experienced prayer, as in going into that place of worship and what you'll face sometimes and oftentimes, and how to go through that experience, how to face it and get past it. And there were people that said it really blessed them, and I hope it did. And sometimes sharing your experience, if you're seasoned in an area, is almost as valuable if it's word-based as going through a line-on-line teaching. But tonight we're going to do both, and I hope that my experiences will also profit you as we talk about these things tonight. The river of prayer has types and kinds. In other words, different types and kinds. Sunday night has recently shifted from study into birthing. And so we were doing some study and watching some videos, which were great. And I've gone through all those before, and they're just fantastic videos and study. But the Lord just took us right back to doing some, you know, proclamations, our confessions, and having Gay start it at least with an abbreviated part where we're speaking. And then what we're doing presently is just sitting and worship, praying in tongues, worship, and then seeing if, giving ourselves to a place of availability to see if the Lord will graduate those places of just, you know, determined, we're going to sit here and pray in tongues and worship. Where will you take this to, Lord? Will you take it to a graduated place of intercession, a graduated place of praying prophetic prayers? And so recently we've had a couple of services, and Sunday night was that. And you can do that and participate if you're not here physically. So that's not just for those that are here physically. And there's more people probably watching on Sunday nights than are here physically. But this will work at home or wherever you're at. So we're birthing through. This is the other thing the Lord said Sunday night, that it's a birthing. And there was a prophetic word as a prophetic prayer of just birthing. It's just a birthing. We're just kind of, we shifted. And the Lord said, I want to go back to worship on Sunday nights, praying in the Spirit, having confessions, and just with a effort of thought, or with a foundation of thought, that this is a place we're going to believe God for a real birthing to take place. Now, you got to give yourself to those things for those things to begin to happen. So Sunday night is our, we're going to term it now for a season, our birthing service. So let's, before we go into the prophecy tonight, let me give you some words so that while we're in the prophecy, you'll say, I can see in the prophecy the word basis for this. So go with me to familiar Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 10. And I'd like for you to go there and follow along with me. Hallelujah. So this service here is not specifically just about Sunday night, although we'll give reference to it, but it's a teaching on something bigger, as in regards to this particular verse that we're going to use that is very, very important. So again, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And he starts there with the word finally, and we are not going to go into, that's another teaching which I have taught extensively about how that he wraps up Ephesians, the five and a half chapters, and gets to this word finally. And it's, this is not just a salutation like I'm wrapping up things, but this is, you are qualified now for the finally. And the finally is, the first five and a half chapters is dealing with the flesh growing up, maturing, and now that you're mature and now that you have grown up, you're ready to now stand up against principalities and powers, and as he lists here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there he lists at least four different classifications of demonic powers. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Now here we go. We're going to go into armament or weaponry or however you want to determine this. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We can stop right here and say this. We know this, that it would kind of be laughable to us to believe that this is something that you just go through the motions of saying, that I am somewhat putting on. You can do that if you'd like, if you have an understanding with it. Like we used to sing the song as years ago, and there are songs that talk about your armament and you can put it on. And if you think that just by thinking that you're making a gesture physically or mentally that you're putting on the armor of God, then you're in first grade spiritually, or maybe kindergarten, because these are deep moral and spiritual attributes of the new nature. These are deep things, and these things are coming to a place. They come to a place from the first 5.5 chapters that you can really put these on. And put these on means let them be lived out of you. Let them be expressed out of you. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, each one of these deserves a seminar, and we're not going to do that because that's not our assignment tonight. But truth here is truth. It's, you have to go back to those 5.5 chapters. Each man speak the truth in love with his neighbor. All the different things that might have pertained to truth. In other words, speaking truth, living truth, not living a lie, is one of those armaments that puts you in a position where you're finally able to stand against principalities and powers. And we've made this expression so many times before in the past. We won't belabor it again tonight, that devils, they laugh and joke when you rebuke them out of a stronghold. You're trying to get them to move out of a place in your life when you're giving them a position. Everybody remembers the old devils, the example of devils sitting around a card table playing, you know, cards, and you rebuking them and them laughing, and I won't go into that. Some people are saying, what is he talking about? That's another service. But or another teaching, rather. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Man, I'd love to speak on every single one of these things, and I have. This is as simple as following the new nature, the righteousness of the new nature. Now, what was allowable 10 years ago in your life, or 5 years ago, or even 6 months ago, continues to be purged by the breastplate of righteousness. The more time you spend in God, the less time you want to spend in the world. And the things that the movies that you used to be able to go and see, you can't do that anymore. And it's not because somebody says you're going to go to hell, but your new nature says, nah, I can't do that. The things that you could watch on TV and say, it's just, you know, well, I won't get too far into it, but I hope your spirit, unless it's, I'm going to give a hall pass for war movies that we watch once or twice a year, and you can't watch a war movie without some significant. But if it's an entertainment movie, like you're just watching it for entertainment, man, I hope that if it starts out with a few of those F-bombs, that something inside of you said, no, I pray too much to take my spirit of my breastplate of righteousness and let junk be fed into it. And if skin starts showing up, I hope there's something inside of you says, you know what? I just spent 2 or 3 hours in prayer today. And I've just, there was a purging process. I don't want to take something and put it back in. So, I mean, you're just kind of like spinning your wheels when you do that. Another teaching. But that's, thank you. Breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, follow peace. I know the gospel is the good news of peace, but this is the dictates of peace. This is the first voice in your life is witness. Before you'll ever hear, thus saith the Lord, in audible words or pictures or dreams, it's witness. That's the witness of peace. So when you pray in the Spirit and you're wondering which way I should go, before there's a dream, before there's a vision, before there's an audible voice, there's always the gospel of peace. That's the peace, the good news. Like, I know which way. No, I can't go that way. Something. Well, why? I don't know. Mommy, why can't I do this? Everybody, it's not wrong. I know, but, yeah. So, we had a thing Sunday. One of our grandkids wanted to go ride four-wheelers with somebody else, and they were a good group of kids. It wouldn't be like they'd be letting them go, and they're all drinking beer and all that stuff. That's all of a sudden, that's a no-no. But one of my girls said, that she goes, Dad, what do you think? Because I don't, there's something inside of me that can, the parent wasn't going to be there. And one of my girls wasn't going to be there. And I said, no, you just, I don't think so. Now, that doesn't mean she's always not going to be able to do that. But there's times you better follow peace. And if something interrupts and you say, And the grandchild was fine. They didn't throw a fit about that. But I'll tell you what, we protect our lives, our children, our families by the gospel of peace, the directions of peace. Okay, so I don't want to get, I'm kind of belaboring this a little bit, but it's okay. He says, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, this shield of faith is the word of God in a shield, just like Jesus in Matthew 4, Luke 4, when he went through the temptations, the multiple temptations, his shield was the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. And so we need to have that shield in our ability to, you know, retaliate in that certain sense with the Word of God. And of course, every single one of these particular ones could be taught on much more extensively than what I'm teaching present tense. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation. This is just the renewing of the mind. And then the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which I meant to say the Word. Here is rhema. It is not logos. It's rhema, which kind of gives you the expression of present tense, prophetic, God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired word of the Lord. It's a sword. It's like, okay, I'm listening. What do I say? And the rhema is as short as Jesus would say to the demons, go. It was a directive. The rhema word is often should be considered a directive, like you're making some kind of sword of the Spirit. It's an offensive. The shield of faith is a defensive mechanism, armament, but the sword of the Spirit is an offensive. You're making an offensive attack into the enemy's territory, and you're speaking the word, and you're listening, and once you get that, and when you do that, you've got to have the faith that Holy Spirit is involved, angels are involved, they go forth, they hearken to the voice of God's word. And so that prophetic word, which is the rhema word, they're going to hearken and they're going to launch an offensive attack. Sometimes when I'm being attacked, I will speak the word, which is a shield, but then I'll listen and I will speak an offensive word. And the word tells us that one place where in the psalmist has said, we know the psalms are not now, they're not applicable to people, but they're applicable to spiritual warfare. And so there's so many verses in the psalms that are applicable to spiritual warfare. One that I really enjoy is, let the angel of the Lord chase and persecute. So there are times where I'll say, I just, in Jesus' name, against this enemy, I release the angel of the Lord. Angel, go after them, chase this demonic power, persecute, drive it out of my sphere, my day, however it's trying to affect me. Praying, look at this. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema or sword, word of God. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now I want to make a point here so we can, and I really need to look at my time here because we got quite a bit of, and I need to stick to my notes. So verse 10, and this will make a point to help kind of get something across to you. Verse 10 through 18 is Paul speaking to the church. And I'm going to make this point for a reason. You know, it starts in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren. Everybody say, my brethren. So my brethren is the church. When he gets to starting with verse 19, the application to 19, verse 19, is towards Paul. And he says, after he said verse 8, you know, after he said everything about armament, then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, my point is this. 10 through 18 is all concerning the church. And if that's concerning the church, when he switches over to his concerns for the church to pray for him, those verses 10 through 18, he's trying to teach something to the church. Starting with verse 19 is the application is for Paul, and we just read that 19 and 20. And now here's my point. If Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 applies to the church, then it should be understood as one thought in regards to spiritual armor. It's one thought. It's just really, he's trying to get something over to the church concerning spiritual armor. I could say spiritual warfare. This is going to help you. Verse 18 ought to be, the last one that we read in that, verse 18 ought to be understood as the armoring of the church as much as any other of the previous verses. So we just went through the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, peace shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. And we understand that's an armament, sword of the Spirit, offensive, launching offensive warfare. We understand that those are all part of this spiritual weaponry. But then we think, sometimes it's easy to think that verse 18 is different than any of that, but it's not. When he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, with all prayer and supplication, look at it again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Verse 18 is kind of the conclusion to everything he just said, and it's kind of the solvent. It's kind of what makes all the weaponry work together. Verse 18 is the solvent that makes the previous verses work together. Although we're not going to go back through them, but all those pieces of our armament and weaponry, verse 18 is what kind of brings it all together. The sword of the Spirit is not, it's not the last part of the armor listed. If we just read through that and get to if we read through that and came up to, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer. So my point is this, the sword of the Spirit is not the last part of the armor listed. All prayer and supplication, which is the next verse, really finishes up the list. Prayer of all types of prayer ought to be understood as part of the armor. It's important you catch this. Prayer of all types becomes our equipping for spiritual warfare as much as any of the others listed. And I'll read this out of the Amplified, that particular verse 18. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. With all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Again, I'll read 18 because we're kind of really trying to get a point across here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word all prayer, or actually really the word all, is the word pas, P-A-S. And Thayer's says this. If I turn the page, I can see what Thayer says. Pas says is this. When he says all prayer, he says pray with all prayer. Individually, it means this. Every, or each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. Collectively, it's just this. It's in our title tonight. Some of all types. So he's saying, pray with some of all types. In other words, mix it up with a smorgasbord of all types of prayer, which will bring a gelling, a consolidation, a finish to all these parts of our spiritual weaponry. Am I getting it across? So you've got, these all types of prayer become, it does the finish part. And it's all part of our equipping. Part of our equipping is to be able to follow the Holy Spirit in some of all types. Just what the Thayer's definition, some of all types. And so that's very important in our equipping. In our Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, our equipping is to follow the Holy Spirit. Now, I just listed for my sake without scripture, because, you know, I could make this five lesson message, maybe it deserved that. But here's some of the number of different types, and just for your understanding, prayer types. And I said, like I said, without scripture, so just forgive me for that. You can look them up. I could probably give you all most of these later. There's diversity of tongues, okay. And those diversities, which I won't go into all of them, there's four types of diversities that we know of, and that's not my objective tonight to teach on those. But we know one of them is the tongues of personal edification. One of the diversities is tongues of edification. That can graduate itself into tongues of intercession. And all of this, I know that I'm kind of skipping a stone across a vast lake of wonderful revelation, but my objective is to teach on all types, just to introduce your mind and thought process of, I need to be involved in all types. All types of what? All types of prayer. So we know that there are a number of different types of prayer. There's the, as we said, there, we could go to Corinthians and talk about the four diversities of tongues. And one of those diversities is the one we use the most is the tongue of self-edification. We just do that as we're driving, as we're showering, as we're working, as we're, you know, we do that without. That can at times lend itself, and I'm watching the clock, so I don't have a whole lot of time, but I can tell you this, there's been a number of times, it doesn't happen every day, it may not happen, it may be months and years, but before it happens. But often, there's been often times in my life where I have graduated from self-edification to intercession. And I'm finding that that happens even more nowadays in my private prayer closet. But when that happens, Dave used to talk about is you're moving megatons of situations sometimes in the spirit realm. When it first happened, Lord help me, because there's so much. I've got so much, and it's wonderful. But I just want to follow you, Holy Spirit. But when it first happened, I remember this has been 20-something years ago, probably. And far more than that, because we've been here 30 years. So it's been 35 years ago. I was studying for my state examination. For my contractor's license, I was at my desk, and this is the hardest test. It's comparable to the bar exam. And I had not, you know, I'd failed it like a couple of times. I was going back, and I was like, okay, God, I got to get this. The kids, Candy took, I think we only had Amber at the time, took her out of the house. I'm sitting there studying, and my brain is fried. I'm just like, you got to go over and over calculations and all kind of stuff. That you're just, it's just boring, but at the same time, you got to get it if you want the license. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I got something come on me, and I'm starting to pray in the spirit, and then all of a sudden, it graduated to like deep groanings. And I mean, I'm like praying, I'm like, you know, if somebody walks in on me, if Candy comes back to the house, she's like, what, you know, what is going on in here? But I was in deep, I was praying. It wasn't my normal edification tongue. If you go into that, don't think yourself weird. Do it until it finishes. And a lot of times it's only, my experience is sometimes it's only 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's not like all day. I mean, it's like you can only stand that kind of intercession for, I mean, you could for a while, but the Lord doesn't want you to be. Well, anyway, I'm thinking, what? This is the weirdest thing in my life. And then the phone rings, and my mom says, your sister has been in a, you know, really bad car accident. I said, I know. And she goes, you know? I said, yeah, I know, because I've been just, that's the answer. She said, she's right around the corner from you. And so I know that I saved her life. I know that. I saved, God in me saved her life. Her car had flipped in the middle of the highway. It's laying upside down when I get there. And very possibly she'd have been killed. I could go into example after example after example. That's not my... I know that Davy is here today because Candy, when she was... how far along were you, Candy? 4.5 months? She was 4.5 months, and... the embryonic sac tore, and all of the fluid came out at 4.5 months. That's not good. I mean, and so we're like, and the doctor's like, he didn't think that the baby was going to survive, or if the baby did survive, it would be, could lose a loss of a limb or something. And so we took Candy to a house, I think it was my mom's or somebody's, and laid her down. I went home to get some stuff for Candy, and I went and I started praying, and I know that you can be, your heart can be touched on something that's really close to you like that, but it was beyond that. I laid down on the carpet, and for about 20 minutes, man, I went somewhere in deep intercession. It wasn't my edification tongue. It was a tongue of intercession. When I prayed it through, and this, when I got at Kenneth Hagin, I know we were talking about this the other day, and some people were, they weren't making fun of me. They were like, we just don't understand this sometimes. Kenneth Hagin said, when you come to those places, once you've prayed them through, And I've watched some of his services, and I'm definitely not trying to mimic him. But he said, when you come through those intercessional times, or you get something like that from the Lord, it'll often be followed with a hilarious laughter. And it's always that. I saw him do that many times. It's like, it can sound weird, but you're laughing in the spirit because you get a witness. You get a witness. And any time I've ever had that witness, it would come at the end of that time of intercession. Well, when I got that witness and I'm in that place of joy, like, okay, I knew it was going to be, and obviously you see Davy every week. So she made it, and that's another story. So hallelujah. So there's diversity of tongues. There's tongues of personal edification. There's tongues that of intercession. There's prayers of understanding. That's just you know what you want to pray for. And it can be a prayer for wisdom. There's prayers, there's petitionary prayers where you're asking God for something. You need something. There's intercessory prayers of understanding. In other words, you're not praying a prayer in tongues, but it's a prayer of understanding, but you're interceding. And intercession means, the word intercession means praying for someone else or praying for something. It's not necessarily for you. It's praying for revival. It's praying for your family. It's praying. It's interceding. And that's what intercessional prayer is about. And so when we labor on Sunday nights, we're interceding for the outpouring. It's not, you know, if you've got a need, we want to pray for you. But it's a time to invest in the needs of others, which is the harvest. And so that's our intercessory time. But it starts out with, you cannot deliberately go into deep groanings of the Spirit, but you can offer yourself up for the purpose of, like, Lord, if you graduate me during this time. But the other thing is, praying with the understanding, intercessory prayers, is not subpar to God. I mean, it's like Paul prayed. He said, I pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. You can pray with your understanding and it can be anointed. And if you pray it by faith, God will, it's the prayer of faith. So there's intercessory prayer of understanding. There's intercessory prayer combined. And I will say this, I love this. It's combined with tongues of intercession and understanding. In other words, as you're praying in tongues, most of the time, I don't know what the percentage would be, most of the time, I don't know what I'm praying about, but sometimes I do. I know on the inside, I know the gist of it. I know what the subject, I should say that. I know what the subject matter is. And then sometimes there's not a deep groaning, but there's a graduated place. It's my tongue, but it's not really my tongue. It's kind of beyond where I normally pray at. And so at those times I'm like, God, I know you're doing something. Now I found out those kinds of tongues can last, you know, I could pray a long time in that until it's birthed. There's prophetic proclamation prayers. In other words, you're standing and you're, when I say proclamation, I could say proclamations, decreeing, confessions, but basically it's you're decreeing something. You're praying, but your boldness goes to another level. It's like you're just like supercharged on steroids and like, I'm anointed. I'm speaking this and I'm anointed. I can feel the anointing of God. And so there's those types of prayers. And then there's prayer. Worship and thanksgiving is really a prayer. It's just another type of prayer. The corporate prayer of intercession for the birthing of revival. Let's talk about that for just a little bit because we do have to get onto this prophecy. All revivals, including the very first one, the book of Acts, have been directly attached to corporate prayer or corporate intercession. So I would say this, God loves the synergy of corporate prayer. He loves you to pray individually, but there's something that just God just loves, the synergy of corporate prayer, people getting together. And I'm saying this, listen, even those that can't get here physically, because we have people watching this that are 1,000 miles away, you're not going to be able to get here, but we are still corporately praying together. Thank God for technology. Thank God. So God loves the synergy of corporate prayer. Some things, and this is so important, and all I can say is this is the experience part of this. Some things concerning, and specifically I'm talking about corporate prayer now, some things must be taught through practice, just doing it. And in all caps, I have this, and I thought it was a wonderful statement given to me by the Holy Spirit. Learning how to swim is very simple, but learning how to swim happens in the water. It's kind of redundant, but it's pure spiritual knowledge. Learning how to swim happens in the water. You can't learn through theory or chalkboard teaching. You can't. You just got to get in there somehow and then become part of it. And I got down an example is my grandson. All my grandkids now can swim, and I thank God we've got an above-ground pool. But they're all, you know, kid, if you're growing up in Florida, you need to learn how to swim. And so Silas just turned 5. He's, you know, but he started at 4. Some kids even start earlier, you know, probably 3, I think he started. But, you know, all of the kids have gone through this process. And they get in the pool, not just ours, but, you know, there's a pool over where they live. And but all of our kids have been around pools all their life. But from starting out as an infant, they begin to, you know, they want to be in the shallow end where they can touch. But then you start helping them graduate their confidence. And their confidence sometimes is only to dog paddle a foot. But now, you know, just in the last couple of weeks, you know, Silas he's showing off because he's swimming from end to end by himself. And it's so good to watch that, because we know that we still got to keep an eye on things. But if he falls in or whatever, he can swim to the edge. And he's good. And all the grandkids have, you know, grown up swimming. After you learn to swim, now this has some spiritual applications. After you learn to swim, drowning is virtually impossible. I mean, you could become fatigued. You could, like if you're at the beach, you could get caught in a rip tide current. Those kinds of things are different. Those are exceptions. But after you learn how to swim, it becomes mechanics. I mean, it becomes biomechanic, where you're just you don't even have to think about it. Actually, when I think about, because I'm a good swimmer and I can swim, I'm thinking, I can't even think how I would drown, how I could make myself drown. I mean, I can, you know, I'm thinking, unless there was high, you know, seas, I probably could swim hours if I had to save my life, because I'd just stop and tread, and it's like I'd have to just say I'm just going to sink and drown, because swimming becomes a biomechanical thing. And so that's the same way as in getting into the Spirit. Once you get into the flow, you have to learn to do it by doing it. And we're talking about corporate prayer, corporate worship, praying in tongues, declaring, and these birthing kinds of services. And you get an access to it, even online, as much as we do here. After you learn to swim, drowning is virtually impossible. There can be a confusion or a trepidation will happen until you learn how to relax. Now, I'm talking about two things. The physical thing of swimming, but using it as something as an example for the Spirit. Then it becomes part of your nature. Then you forget how to drown. You're like, I don't know how to drown anymore. It's like, this is part of who I am. And I like this because I felt like this will give us all an example. The depth of the water has no bearing effect upon the ability to swim. Now, there's a spiritual application to that, and I'll say it in just a moment. The depth of the water has no bearing effect upon the ability, once you learn how to swim, and then once you learn how to get into this river and swim. I remember as a young man or a younger man, probably in my 30s, you know, my dad had a friend, and he had a huge boat, and it had a cabin. It was very nice, and we would go out with him into the Gulf, and we would grouper fish, and we'd grouper fish all day long, and it was, and there would be five or six of us. I was the youngest guy on there, and late 20s, maybe, early 30s, and so the Gulf is really shallow compared to most oceans, the Gulf of America, and it slopes at 10 per one. You go 1 mile, it's like 10, something like, so you, every 10 miles, it's one, it's like, so, let's see, not 1 foot, 10 foot, yeah. So you'd have to go 80 miles to have 80 foot of water underneath you. And so sometimes we would go 80 miles. I remember one or two times we went 60 to 80 miles out. It takes you a couple of hours. Obviously, you lose sight of land after probably 15 miles or so. And we'd be out there, and I'd get hot in the middle of the day, and I didn't even think, I mean, I wasn't thinking Jaws or anything, and I'd just dive off in that cool, you know, water out there. It'd be 80, 100 feet, I guess. But my feet didn't have to touch the bottom for me to swim. And I could, I was just swimming out there, all that water under. Well, why are you saying that? I'm saying that to say this, my example about the Gulf. Many, and this is spiritual application now, many want to be able to touch the bottom with God before they'll jump in. In other words, I've got to understand this. My feet have got to touch the bottom. I don't feel comfortable if I can't touch the bottom. You got to jump into spiritual things sometimes, even when you totally don't understand it. When your spirit says it's right, but you can't touch the bottom, you still got to jump in. Does that make sense? God's love is fathomless, but our ability to swim in his love is fathomless. It's in our new nature, just waiting to be brought forth. Now, I have scripture on that, and I think I'll actually just give you the reference and go on, because I want to get to the prophecy, because we need to. And that's in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20, talking about the length, or the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of his love. That's what we need to have to go into the fullness of God. So the same thing is true with corporate intercession. And I said this, if you're a chalkboard, pen and paper, charts and very structured kind of person, you may struggle initially until you learn how to flow. If you gotta I gotta analyze all this and I gotta, well, okay, at some point you're gonna have to let loose. In a good way. All revivals were connected to corporate prayers, as I said before. The day of Pentecost, the Welch revival, I could go on and on, Hebrides revival, Azusa Street, the first and second great awakenings. If you study those, you read those, people got together and prayed. And out of their prayer, things started happening powerful, very powerful things. The only way to learn how to flow with corporate intercession is to get into the river. You got to get in there. And Sunday night, River of Intercession is beginning. On the day of Pentecost, this is just more example. On the day of Pentecost, a very loud voice or voices became a torrent river that was heard for blocks away from the building, and they had no sound system. But we know that the people could hear that, because all of Jerusalem, or many parts of Jerusalem, was drawn to that, and they're like, I mean, these people were, it was a torrent. It really was. It was a torrent river. It's not about, and I will specify this, say this, it's not about the volume of the prayer, but about the flow. The flow will produce changes in the intercessors. And again, I want to integrate your thoughts with all types. And I showed you out of the Word of God. That is in the Greek when he says with all prayer. He's talking about all types. And that takes something of flowing with the Holy Spirit. The great thing about revival is that I like this. I love this statement. The great thing about revival is that it is a personality traits buster. In other words, I got personality traits that I'm not going to... Revival will just blow that in pieces. In other words, the move of God sometimes will take personality traits that says, this is me and I'll never be any different than this is the quiet little me and I'll never be any different. That'll blow, revival will blow that out of the water. It just blows up in pieces what you define often as yourself. Peter went from a scared rabbit hiding behind doors from the Jews into a roaring lion that proclaimed the gospel fearlessly after the river ran through him. Now, I'm going to have to really move on here, not rush, but move on. I'll just give you this. Isaiah, this is a couple of places where the Lord talks about him roaring. Isaiah 42:10 and following, he talks about, sing unto the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein in the isles and the habitation thereof. Verse 11, I'm looking for this. Verse 12, yeah, here it is in verse 13. And the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up his jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yes or yea. He shall roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. So you see this of the Lord. There's at times a roaring that comes out of him. The Lord also shall, this is in Joel, this is the chapter that's very, we love to look at. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will breathe hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, I have in my notes, and I'm interested watching the Holy Spirit here because I believe I've followed him, if we'll make this two parts. But I still have the prophecy, right? Have I passed it out yet? Okay, so maybe the prophecy will be for the next service or next Wednesday, because it's very, very important that we look at it line on line. There's 11 paragraphs here, and we need to look at it. But the roar of Niagara Falls can be deafening. I'm going to use Niagara Falls. I don't know if any of you have ever been. You need to put that on your bucket list if you haven't. It's an incredible place. We went to the Canadian side and stayed the night and then rode the boat down underneath the falls the next day and around into the falls. And a lot of you have probably done that. You can't hear yourself think. You know, you have to, you know, it's so deafening. And you're wearing these, you know, rain suits and everything. That's from a waterfall, from a river. And so that's the example of Niagara. But that's from the word that we just read, that sometimes the Lord roars out of Zion. And so this is where I'm going with this. And this is what the Lord wants us to pick up on here tonight. Something is starting in our Sunday nights. Now, I'm not asking people to just come in here and fabricate anything. I'm asking you to give yourself over to a flow that possibly turns into something that you're not normal acquainted with. That doesn't mean you have to raise your voice loud, but it does mean that you get into a place where you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to possibly take you to a place where it's not... You're not normally associated with the boldness that you have with your tongue or with your understanding prayer, where you're proclaiming or making a proclamation. But Pastor, this is in quotes, but Pastor, I love to be quiet. And so does God. I'm a quiet whisperer. You know, listen, we've had the prophecies that God loves to whisper. And so does God, but God loves the whisper time, but he also loves the roar of many waters at times. Amen? So there again, there's an example of our all types of prayer and giving ourselves over to all different types of anointings. Now, this is important. If you lock God into one expression of his person towards you, you will be very limited in your capacity to receive the fullness of God that he has for your life. Like, okay, this is where we have to get in the river and flow with God. The question somebody might say, well, what about decently and in order? You know, we need to keep things decently and in order. That was a corporate church. That in Corinthians, he was addressing a corporate setting issue where both Christians and the lost might attend. And so you were supposed to do things decently in order for the lost. And what we're talking about tonight is saints only revival birthing services, right? There's a very powerful prophecy, as I said, coming that came Sunday night. We've got 10 minutes. I really believe we can do something in 10 minutes. Let's go ahead and pass those out in 10 minutes, because I don't want to go this far and not get into this prophecy. I can read this prophecy in 10 minutes. Or if it's 11 minutes, you won't throw me under the bus, I hope. Okay. Hallelujah. The river has types and kinds. And I hope that you at home were able to find it, because I believe it came from... I originally thought... I didn't even know if we'd... We post all our prophecies, but I didn't think I was going to send it out to the world or read it in front of the church, because I thought it's an internal working of where we're at right now here on Sunday night. And of course, people are watching Sunday night, but then the Lord, you know, redirected me. I didn't feel corrected as much as just redirected, like, no, I want this to go out. I'm going to try to just read through this and be very restrained on commenting too much. The river of prayer has types and kinds. I'm coming, says the Spirit of the Lord, and I'm asking you to birth this. And those online laboring together as those who lift up the hands, the Aarons and the Hurs, that lift up the hands of Moses. As you lift up the hands of this movement in the earth and this house, you're lifting up my desired will, says the Spirit of the Lord. Enter in, whether you're here physically or whether you're here online. Know that I'm hearing your prayers. The synergy of your prayers combined with this river is creating and birthing. Know this, that I'm breaking the mold. I'm expanding and I'm breaking the mold for every individual. I'm opening up new places of understanding. Old places that were established of me will settle in and stay. But those things that were assumed to be of me and only thought to be me will pass away. I'm opening up the new, says the Spirit of the Lord. And this is something not only applicable corporately, but to us personally. Like, Lord, as I said, revival is personality, is a personality trait buster. In other words, it sometimes will go in and not expose you or embarrass you, but change you. Just absolutely change who you are. Did I not say that with all types of prayers, and I had not, this prophecy was not because I had been just studying or reading what I just read tonight. I read and studied again today because of this prophecy. This prophecy just came out of nowhere. Did I not say that with all types of prayers and with all types of prayers to make intercession with supplication in all types of prayers, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'm asking for a birthing from you to stay in the Spirit. Monitor your spirit in these times, in these seasons, and even in your private prayer closets. Monitoring these places where I come corporately, because I desire to take you with all types. Here again, he keeps reiterating this, all types of prayers, and take you from the transition of self-edification to intercession and then back. There's that vacillation. It's like, open us, Lord, open us up to a place where we can continue to pray. And then, Lord, maybe for 5 minutes we go into a place of real intercession, and then maybe he takes us back. And your worship, know this, that there is a prayer of faith in which you will pray out of your understanding. But I desire to go past your understanding and supersede that, says the Lord. I will take your prayers of understanding and anoint them with prophetic prayers, so that you're praying with your understanding, but praying outside of the normal place of your understanding. That you're praying and decreeing, and much of that has been done, even, he said, tonight. That was last Sunday night. But understand that as you pray in the Spirit, that I desire to lead you, to guide you, to teach you. You've entered in, says the Spirit of grace, to the classroom of the Holy Spirit. Don't just learn with the mind, learn with the Spirit. Learn that as I continue to transition you, that you follow the flow. Enter into the flow of my Spirit, says the Lord. Enter into the flow of my Spirit, says the Lord. He repeats it. Enter into the flow of my Spirit in these sessions, because these sessions will increase. There will be vacillation, yielding to vacillation, meaning going back and forth, is what he's saying here. Yielding to a place where you pray in the Spirit and then prophetically pray out loud. It's not the volume of your voice, although it may supersede your norm. But know this, that I desire prophetic prayers. I desire prayers that are decrees. I desire prayers that are present-day speaking prophecies brought to fruition in your prayers. I will anoint these things as I bring forth my anointing in the prayer of intercession and praying in other tongues. I also will join with you and take your prayer of faith and prayer of understanding. Did I not say, I remind you in Ephesians 6, and this is where I had to go back today and say, okay, Lord, help me to get some scripture on this prophecy. Ephesians 6, with all types, and that's in the Greek, it doesn't say that, all types. I use the word types in that place, kinds, meaning different kinds. I used it in that place to let you know that my Spirit will lead you in many different ways. Enter into the classroom of the Holy Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. Be used in many different types and kinds of prayers, says the Spirit of the Lord. Birthing comes through many types and kinds, says the Spirit of the Lord. Birthing comes through many types and kinds, says the Spirit of the Lord. He's very repetitive here. Get it across. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay in the place of intercession. Get in the flow. Yes. Did I miss one? A verse or paragraph 7? Listen. I'm sorry. Go back to, I've got to mark this 7. I skipped down. Listen in these, thank you. I appreciate that. Listen in these times of prayer in the Spirit. Get in my flow as you enter into my rivers. Many streams will come. Many rivers will come. I will flow in different ways. Do not be afraid of breaking molds. Many molds of things that you thought, this is the only way, will be shattered in the days ahead, says the Spirit of grace. But I'm pleased with you. I'm exceedingly pleased with you. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay in the place of intercession. Get in the flow. You'll find that as you enter into the flow of my river in sessions like this, and sessions that will increase, it'll become an ease to you. Your spirit and your mind will become one, and you will not even have to think of the next prayer. The prayer will be provided for you by the Holy Spirit. I am a God that desires not only prayers of intercession, as I have said, by the Spirit as in tongues, But I relish and take great delight in prayers of understanding that are anointed prophetically by my Spirit to bring forth the anointing and the breakthroughs that are necessary for this house to go to the next level, says the Spirit of the Lord. So enter in, learn how to swim in these rivers. Learn how to be absorbed in them, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not fret if you're a person that is quiet. I will move in your quietness. Do not fret if you're a person that is more expressive. I will move in your expressions. Enter into the place. If you stay in the soul, now this is an I listened to this as I was hearing it and giving it because it's an incredible instruction. If you stay in the soul, if you stay in the soul, says the Spirit of the Lord, then you will be disrupted by your mind, by the prayers of understanding and the prophetic prayers being prayed by others in meetings like this. Do not stay in your mind. Get in the flow. Separate yourself and get into a place where you set your attention on me, says the Lord, and I'll flow through you. And at the peripheral, you'll hear, like the peripheral of your hearing, you'll hear and join in with the synergy of all the prayers that are being prayed as a great river that is flowing. You'll enter into this river. Your prayers, whatever they are, whatever I'm moving you in, will be anointed, says the Spirit of grace. But learn how to step past yourself. Don't stay in the old. Begin to flow into the new, says the Spirit of the Lord. Revival will be a new thing all the time taking place, although it will never break out of my word or my foundation, says the Spirit of the Lord. But get ready for expansion. Get ready for new, and new, says the Spirit of the Lord. Many things. Practice these things at home. Practice allowing me to take over your prayers of understanding. You'll go to a place of proclaiming, decreeing, standing in the place of boldness, says the Spirit of the Lord, that does not come up from the natural man. Amen. So we got it done. Yeah, we're just a minute past. We did good. But this is something I watch, and I'm not trying to duplicate or replicate. I'm not even thinking about that in the services that we had. I grew up, and I was involved in services and was around the saints where they were. And again, we're talking about saints getting together for prayer. We're not talking about a corporate service that brings confusion to people come in and they don't. But I would sit and I would, as a child, I would hear aunts and uncles. Now, if you went to a good Baptist church, the most that you probably heard was an amen, and that was very seldom. So that there was no that. So it would be like pouring, throwing water in the face to somebody that grew up in that kind of. But if you grew up, and there was a crescendo, there was a symphony of prayer meetings where people were praying in tongues, praying out loud. Now, if you're a person that's like, if you're what is OCD in the sense of the word, like, you know, you're going to have to, I'm just saying there's a development taking place. And you're going to, if you'll get, as long as you're in the mind, people, now we need to under, and I'm teaching now on kind of some etiquettes here. We'll all, as we go forward, we won't pray so loud that we just totally disrupt, but the volume is going to go up at times. And that's perfectly fine. If you're a person that, like, I just want to stay quiet and stay at home, and that's where I get my... Listen, all types. All types. And sometimes, once you get into the flow and get you and God, the peripheral, you'll hear some loud praying over here or tongues over here, but... It won't distract you. And again, this is corporate prayer for revival. And the Azusas had it. The Hebrides had it. Saints would get together and they would pray and there would be this roar that would come up from them. And you didn't have people saying, I can't concentrate, I can't concentrate. You can't concentrate, you're not supposed to, you're supposed to get in the flow. Well, my feet can't touch. That's good. That's why you're supposed to swim. You're supposed to swim. I gave you like 30 minutes on Sunday, so I took four tonight. Okay, so let's all stand. Hallelujah. Amen. This is just good, practical teaching, but there was word base in it. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. We're going to get more and more into the birthing of your river, and we're going to flow with you. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, that you're taking us to the next level, and you're teaching us how to get there line on line, step by step, and we give you all the praise and glory. Bless in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, if you have something to give, give. Those online, thank you. Hey, listen, thank God that we're more concerned about the anointing. We didn't even take up an offering Sunday. So, hallelujah. This Sunday, we're going to take up two offerings. Hallelujah. All right. Something to give. Give.